Constance Bennett calls on you. The American Broadcasting Company brings you another in a popular series of programs in which Constance Bennett calls on you. Constance Bennett calls on you each Monday through Friday at this same time to talk over things that interest her and things that interest you. And they're pretty apt to turn out to be the same. For while Constance Bennett is a moving picture and stage star, it is not her idea to devote her time to motion picture gossip. As a Hollywood personality, some facts about Hollywood will enter naturally into her conversation with you. But she's just as interested in families, friends, world events, books, home, new hats, funny little things that happen to her and to you, the thousands of things that you care about that she cares about. And so now, Constance Bennett calls on you. You know, Miss Bennett, since we're going to broadcast each day from Dressing Room K all the time you're making Centennial Summer for 20th Century Fox, it seems like it'd be a good idea to describe your dressing room to the radio audience. I know I was surprised when I entered and found it so attractive. Why, it's just like a lovely apartment.
Ah, but Bob, there's a reason for that. When a picture's being made, an actress spends many hours in her dressing room. It should be as comfortable as possible, and of course it helps to have it attractive to the eye.
Yes, I can see that. It has to be your home almost, doesn't it?
Yes, almost is right. Take, for instance, yesterday. My call was for 11 o'clock. Oh, but that doesn't mean I came here at 11. I had to be here at 8:30 for an 11 o'clock call. First of all, I had to have my makeup put on, then my hair dressed, and of course, getting into my costumes takes quite a bit of time. After 11, we had a 3-hour wait for the sun because it was an exterior that we were shooting, and we had a 3-hour wait before we could start shooting. So you see, Bob, Dressing Room K is going to be rather like my home for at least 8 weeks, or until the picture's finished anyway.
Do you always have an 11 o'clock call, Miss Peake?
Oh, no, I'm not always that lucky. Sometimes I have a 9 o'clock call, and that means I must get up at 5:30 and be here in my dressing room at 6:30.
Oh, well, Miss Peake, just one more question before you start describing said dressing room. Why are you so completely surrounded by flowers today?
Aren't they lovely, Bob?
Beautiful.
All my flowers arrived yesterday. You see, it was my first official day on the set, and it's just like the opening of a first night in the theater. You always receive beautiful bouquets and telegrams wishing you well.
Oh, the long-stem American Beauty roses look especially beautiful there by the window.
They do, don't they, Bob? Then that powder blue vase over there is most attractive with the Lady Vandal roses and blue delphinium. But my favorite is that teeny little basket over there with the garden flowers. When I arrived home last night, Linda and Jill were waiting for me with the basket of flowers. You see, Linda has her own little flower garden, and these were the first blooms. But attached to the basket was a little note reading, "Good luck to our mummy. Love from Jill and Linda." Believe me, I was pretty proud this morning when I left home with a little basket of flowers. And the children fairly beamed as they saw me off, clutching their gift.
I know just how you feel, Miss B. But now, let's hear you describe the dressing room. This building is made up of nothing but dressing rooms, isn't it?
Yes, there are two floors of them in this particular building. Of course, dressing rooms are scattered all over the lot. But I like my dressing room, Kay, especially well. It's so bright and cheery. When you enter the living room, you sort of, well, feel gay at the colorful atmosphere. The walls are white, while the carpeting is a rose beige. On the outside wall, there's an enormous window from the ceiling to the floor. Fresh white curtains hang the full length, while the draperies are of American Beauty in blue. The valance across the top of the window is American Beauty, and down the sides are tiers, each about a yard in length. The first tier is powder blue, the second American Beauty, and alternating so on down to the floor. To the right, as you enter the door, is a lovely modern classic desk of pickled fruit wood. A turquoise Mare chair with the same wood trim stands at one end of the desk, while on the other is a comfortable, tufted back, overstuffed chair in a deeper shade of blue. Across from the desk is a long divan, which matches this chair. Above the divan, evenly spaced, are three turquoise prints with the modern classic pictures in shades of soft lavender, coral, and gray. Flanking the divan are two modern classic end tables of the same pickled fruit wood. On them are lamps with American Beauty and white shades. The bases are cylindrical and are made of china with soft roses painted on them. A low glass coffee table stands in front of the lounge, while another soft turquoise armchair is cornered to face it. The dressing room is a much larger room, however. Has the same white walls and the same rose beige carpeting, but in the center of the room is a large American Beauty rose throw rug. To the right, as you enter the dressing room door, is a large chest of drawers of the pickled fruit wood. Across from this chest is another window from the ceiling to the floor, with the same tiered draperies and American Beauty in blue. In one corner stands a rose satin-covered fan-back chair, and next to it is my dressing table. The mirror is lighted with soft amber bulbs and bordered with three tubes of fluorescent coal light. The wall across from the dressing table is completely mirrored in doors opening into clothes closets. By these doors is a chaise longue of blue with rose piping. Two other powder blue chairs and a couple of straight chairs with turquoise seat coverings complete this room.
Now, see what I mean when I say it's a most attractive room?
Uh-huh.
And one in which I wouldn't mind spending more time. But it's time to describe what you're wearing today, Miss B.
All right.
Let's see. Miss B is wearing a beautiful house coat today. And you know what? It goes right in with the American Beauty rose and blue decorations.
Well, Bob, I didn't think of that when I dressed this morning, but I guess you're right.
Of course I'm right. You see, it's a wonderful shade of blue, very tailored with the collar and cuffs bound with an American Beauty rose cord. Miss B is wearing a deeper blue shade of mules. But even in this outfit, I notice Miss B has her gold mesh bag right by her side on the table.
Oh, Bob, you're mean. I'm dressed this way because I've just had my makeup put on. And now I'm waiting for my costume. But I thought I'd better do my broadcast before I put on my costume. Remember what we said about my not being able to breathe?
I know, Miss B, but I just had to tell the truth. Which reminds me, I like the way you're wearing your hair today, too. Miss B has her hair... turn around and let me see. Yes, it's parted all the way down the back with braids cut up on each side. Her bangs are attractively curled across her forehead, and she's wearing a smart little bow of blue and rose on the left braid. Did you have a difficult time tying that bow, Miss B?
Miss B seems your favorite expression for me today, Robert. No, it's a bow tied right on a small comb. You see, there are so many combs that sort of do things for the new hairdos. There are the lovely sequin ones, also those with feathers for evening wear. Then there are the bows for daytime wear. I also have another way of decorating my hair by taking round ball buttons, fastening them to hairpins, and arranging them in groups of three or four. Rhinestone buttons are especially attractive fixed in this way. But you could also take clips and fasten them to combs. I think I've spent enough time, though, talking about different ways of dressing hair, so I'll just say, now, Mr. Announcer, it's your turn.
You know, I'm not going to talk about hairdos. I don't think it's my type of thing to talk about. But I certainly do like being out here. It's just like being in a little town.
Several little towns, Robert. For each set that you see standing is usually another town or village. And they look quite real, too, don't they?
I should say they do. They fool you when you're walking around out here. I was surprised to find out they have a complete nursery here, too. Whenever they need trees or plants or flowers, they just call the nursery and get whatever they need.
That's right. It's really rather simple. Of course, they usually mix fresh flowers with artificial ones. It makes them appear more real and they stay fresher looking longer.
The other day, I walked through the prop room, too. Actually, I'm sure you could find anything and everything you needed.
Well, that's what the property room's for, Bob. But you'd be amazed at how often they have to scout around for things, even with all they have. It isn't enough when they're doing period pictures, especially.
I'd like to bring the children out here, but I guess they're too small to realize just what's happening. Do you ever bring Jill and Linda over here?
No, Bob, I don't think it's good for them to be cooped up on the set. Sometimes when I have a late call and it doesn't interfere with school, they drive up to the entrance of the studio with me, though.
Just wait till they see you in the movies. Boy, what a thrill they will get. But I suppose it's better to wait until they grow older. I'm sure it is, if you say so. Here once again is Constance Bennett.
Now that we've been given our second big chance at peace, a chance we can't afford to take lightly this time, I think we should all work at making peace work. We've heard and read and realized that to know our allies, we must learn their customs, their way of life. But there's more to it than just knowing them. We must also help them, show them that we can be trusted. There's no better way of warding off future wars than to be friendly with our foreign friends. Teach them that we're ready to help them. In this way, we'll be creating a band of loyalty across the waters that will remain unbroken through the years. Here in the United States, we were fortunate. Our homeland wasn't invaded. True, we had rationing. We did without many things. But we weren't destitute for clothing, for shoes, for warmth, and for food. We weren't forced from our homes in the dead of night to take to the woods like wild animals. Here, although we were worried and had heartaches, we knew we'd have a roof over our head on the morrow. But not so over there. Even in peace across the waters, many are still going without. And it'll be some time before the manufacturing, the farming, and the rebuilding will get underway. Until that time, when all nations are on their feet again, we can help. We personally can't go over there and help rebuild their war-torn cities, but we can see that they're properly clothed this winter. With sister and brother going back to college, with all of us getting ready for fall house cleaning, it seems to me a pretty good time to take inventory of our clothes, dresses, suits, coats, and shoes. I'll venture to say almost all of us have friends and relatives overseas. If we haven't, we know someone who has. Many of our friends aren't used to asking for old clothes. They're reluctant to say, "What do you do with your old clothes, Mary? If you just throw them away, I'd like to send them to some cousins of mine in France." They're reluctant to say, "While my husband was stationed in England, he lived with an English family. They were wonderful people. They always made him feel right at home. They shared the little they had with him and never complained. Now they need clothing, especially for the children. They're too proud to admit it, but I was just thinking, if you throw your old clothing away, I'd like to have it to send to them. Would you give it to me?" Well, I feel that we're all willing to give, but many of us haven't thought too much about the need. To us, our clothes that we're ready to throw away seem too old, too out of style, or too worn to be of any use to anyone else. But that isn't true. In the countries where war has been going on for 10 years, you'd be surprised how women have learned to repair clothing, how they've mended and mended and then mended the mending. Almost every community here has an old storeroom of some sort of place where clothing for foreign countries is being collected. But if your community hasn't one, why don't you ask your friends if they know anyone who's sending clothing over there? And then kill two birds with one stone. Clean your closets, sort your clothes, and get rid of the ones that are just hanging. Well, I'll admit it's hard to part with some things, even though you haven't worn them for many years. There's a certain sentiment attached to the fact that they're, well, just there. But think how much good a dress or a coat or a suit could do if it was shipped overseas. There's something else that we should all ship overseas. Our Christmas packages for our servicemen and girls. The other day, I heard two women discussing Christmas and what it would mean this year to them. One said, "Well, thank goodness I don't have to take the time or make the effort to send any packages overseas this year. My children are all back. They'll be home for Christmas." One of the other women said, "Bob, my eldest son just got back, and do you know what he wanted me to do? He said, 'Gee, Mom, you'll never know how much your Christmas box meant to me and some of the other fellows last Christmas. I'm home this year, but lots of the fellows aren't. Why don't you fix the same kind of box and send it over anyway to some other soldier?'" This woman continued, "I told him nothing doing. I'll go through the torture of shipping for my own children, but for heaven's sake, don't expect me to do it for someone else." You know, I know if that mother had thought for a moment, she wouldn't have made that statement. For mothers the world over are born to do things for others. This conversation helped me to realize that there will be boys over there who may not have been receiving letters, haven't been getting boxes of any kind. And when Christmas comes around, they'll be pretty lonely. I hope this year every one of us will remember to remember someone still over there. Whether we know them or not, I think it'll be fun to sort of adopt a soldier for Christmas. And now, Mr. Announcer, it's your turn.
You know, I hadn't thought about that, but it would be fun to pack a box and send it over to some stranger. Think of the way he'll look when he receives it.
Yes. And it'll be one way of showing our appreciation for all they've done for us.
I'll bet they'd like candy and nuts and, oh, just everything that goes to make up a good Christmas. I know I want to get a lot of things for the children, especially the baby.
Yeah, she's a bit too young to understand Christmas this year, Bob. But you can still have fun getting things for her.
Oh, sure. Dolls and candy and everything little girls like.
Well, I wouldn't advise the candy. I'm afraid she might like it if she got her hands on it. And candy isn't good for little girls, you know that.
No, I guess not. But you have to understand, Miss Dee, Priscilla isn't like the average baby. She's smarter and more alert, and, oh, she's so different in a million ways. I don't think she even compares. She's so far advanced.
There you go again, Bob. Give you half a chance, and you go on and on and on about Priscilla, but I don't blame you.
Well, friends, it's time for us to go now, but listen in again tomorrow and every day, Monday through Friday, when over most of these same stations, Constance Bennett calls on you, talking over the things you've asked her to discuss. This is Bob Latting speaking. This is the American Broadcasting Company.